You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Illini Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Enquirer publisher here, sending it into the weekend with another podcast. Today, we will chat about the latest Illinois football commit in the class of 2021, but the majority of our podcast will be spent, again, with Derek Piper. Last week, Derek joined us to break down the Illini class of 2021. Go back and listen to that one. We break down all of their top targets, what that class means as well. In this podcast, we will chat with Derek about the class of 2022. As Illinois coaches started talking with that class, as the NCAA rule allows them to this week, and reached out with a lot of new offers, including some kids in state. So I talked to Derek about AJ Casey, five-star prospect in-state, Jaden Shutt, a very popular shooter out of Yorkville, Kyle Thomas, Trey Pettigrew, and several other targets in the class of 2022, and just what we've learned about the Illini staff and their efforts in that class in the early going. Also talk a little bit about the Big Ten basketball news, some transfers out there that are kind of flip-flopping around, as well as the IHSA tournament coming to Champaign. So that's coming up with Derek Piper. But before we get to that, I want to chat a little bit about the latest Illinois football commitment in the class of 2021, and yet another from the Sunshine State. Three-star Florida athlete Theodore Lockley committed to Illinois on Friday. Ryan Easterling and I talked a little bit about him in our previous podcast this week. 6 foot, 175 pound athlete out of Daytona Beach. Went to Mainland High School. He's a wide receiver slash defensive back. He's the Illini's ninth commitment in the class of 2021 and the fifth from Florida. He's the third Florida prospect to commit this week, and out of the nine commitments in the class, of course, five from Florida. So Illinois really doing work there, and they are making another push. They had the May push where they had five commitments, much needed to set a foundation in that class. Now they add three more this week. Three-star wide receiver Patrick Bryant, who had more than 15 other Power 5 offers. Three-star linebacker Dylan Rosiak, who had no other Power 5 offers, but go back and listen to the podcast earlier in the week. Ryan Easterling and I are pretty high on him and what he brings to Illinois. As for Lockley, he had about 30 Division I offers, also included Boston College, his Final Four, Bowling Green, East Carolina, held some Power 5 offers from Kansas and Rutgers as well. He's a very interesting prospect in that Illinois is kind of recruiting him more as a defensive back. Kenoto Hudson led the charge here. He's a Florida native. He actually was the defensive coordinator at Mainland High School, Theodore Lockley's high school, just about a decade ago. So he's got great connections in that area and at that high school. Offense coordinator Rod Smith also involved in this one. So they're recruiting him kind of as an athlete. Hudson could play him at free safety, or Rod Smith could have him kind of as a slot receiver. As a junior, he had 28 receptions, 559 yards. Also had some jet sweeps and had a bunch of rushes, 24 for 193 yards, two touchdowns there. He is a kid that is a big play threat, can really stretch the field. He's got legit Power 5 speed. Ran a 10.74 in the 100-meter dash, which is really fast for a high school junior. I think that translates on the field to, 4.5-ish speed, something like that. But his speed plays on the field, and Illinois certainly needs that at wide receiver. But one thing Kenoto Hudson and Lovey Smith have done is they like to recruit athletes for the secondary. Get the athlete first, get those Power 5 traits first, and we can develop them. They're very confident in that. Prince Green, another commitment in this class, 6'2", 190, all the traits you want in a cornerback that Lovie Smith wants in his system. A little bit raw as a cornerback, technically, but those are things that they can develop, especially when you got Marquez Beeson, Devin Witherspoon, Tavion Nicholson ahead of them. So these are guys that should be able to redshirt, but Theodore Lockley, likely free safety, is what I would see him as. He has some strength. He can play physical, so he's not your typical, what I would call, a slot wide receiver because he can break some tackles. Didn't play a lot of defense, though, at Mainland this past year, so there's not a lot of film on him. So that probably means he's a little bit raw as a guy in the secondary. But Tony Adams was a little bit like that as well. And Tony Adams is a great athlete, played a little bit more offense in high school, did play defense, though, later on in his career. So he is a guy that had a little bit more experience than Lockley. But Lockley, 6 foot, 175, great range, great ball skills. That could make sense as a center field kind of prospect. He kind of reminds me of a guy who's gone on to have a nice NFL career. And didn't have the greatest production at Illinois, though, because he's kind of flip-flopping positions. I had some health issues, but his speed was always real, and he had solid size as well. The comp for me would kind of be Justin Hardy. Justin Hardy came into Illinois, track guy, didn't have the greatest offer list, but that speed was real. He ended up being a starter at wide receiver, didn't have the greatest production at that position, but ended up having an NFL career, has moved to defensive back, and kind of an athlete playing football. So the development process will be very important for the Illini staff there. But this is real speed you add to a class, and Illinois needs speed both in the secondary and at wide receiver. So we'll see where he ends up position-wise, but Illinois definitely upgraded its speed in this class. So you're starting to look at this class, and their defense is starting to take shape. They've addressed needs in the defensive backfield with three commitments so far at defensive back, two at linebacker so far. So they have definitely taken shape, and one on the defensive line. So six of the nine commitments are on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, still need a lot more offensive linemen, still need a lot more wide receivers in this class, assuming Lockley plays a defensive back. So it'd be interesting to watch there how that develops. But certainly Illinois has a far better foundation now than they did just 7 weeks ago. 7 weeks ago, you have one commitment, you're wondering what's happening. And I think Lovie Smith and his staff adjusted, said, okay, we aren't going to be able to get kids on campus here very soon. So let's start pushing for guys that maybe haven't been on campus, but we feel good with. Let's get them on virtual chats. Let's get them on virtual visits. And let's have them on Zoom. And let's develop relationships that way, because that's what we have to do. And right now, they're probably one commitment away from being halfway done with this class, which is actually an improvement over what they've been in previous years. So Illinois is at least setting a foundation where they're checking off some big needs in this class with some good Power 5 traits. What they're lacking in this class is those top 500 recruits. That's where I think people thought at this point, understandably so, Lovie Smith would be landing those level of prospects. More Brody Wise carvers in this class, right? More Daniel Edwards. Daniel Edwards is a top 1,000 guy, but at cornerback in this class, I think he's a really, really good get for Illinois. So I think that's what you're looking for more in this class. But they are filling needs, and this staff is going to have to develop that talent. But defensive end, they need more. Wide receiver, they need more. Offensive line, they certainly need more as well. But I'd imagine in this class should be full, but I'm going to say about 20 prep guys, and they'll probably leave about five scholarships open for transfers. That's kind of what they've done the last couple of years. All right, that's the football recruiting chat today. When we come back, let's talk more basketball recruiting. Focus on the class of 2022. New offers out in-state. What's it look like? Derek Piper, Illini Inquirer, joins us next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast. And last week we talked about the 2021 class and all the focus there, and broke down a lot of their top prospects. And this week, Illinois basketball got busy offering 2022 kids, can now talk with those kids directly. And let's talk about that class, 2022, with Derek Piper joining us now. What's up, Derek? How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. It always makes you hear 2022 and you're like, really? Is that so far down the road? But I guess apparently it's not.
Well, they're working on it. But before we get there, there's a little bit of news. Big Ten transfer news this week. Two guys that are kind of flip-flopping around here. Kobe King, who transferred to Nebraska mid-year last year, is now not going to play for Nebraska. And he says personal reasons. And, of course, he left Wisconsin for a certain set of personal reasons. And now I don't think we're surprised by Nojel Eastern. Nojel Eastern not sticking at Michigan. He said it was certain credits didn't transfer over, and he would have to sit out a year anyway. But with them getting Sean D. Brown, I think we saw the writing on the wall there. But what do you make of those two? How does that impact the Big Ten moving forward, Dirk?
Yeah, Kobe King's a good player. We saw that when Illinois was up there in Madison, and that second half, he was hard for Illinois to stop, and I thought it was a really nice get for Nebraska. I know that Greg Gard took a lot of heat when Kobe left, and we don't know all the details and the whole situation of what really went on there, but for him to leave now, maybe Wisconsin feels a little bit better. I don't know where he'll end up. Nojel Eastern, there's been drama around Nojel back in the recruiting scene, and for that to resurface and when he's looking for a new place, that doesn't surprise me. And there was talk as you dug in on Sean D. Brown that it didn't seem like Michigan wanted to take both of those. I know that Nojel is saying there's a credit issue. I don't know, again, how legitimate that is. But Michigan not acknowledging his commitment from the very beginning, which was quick right after he left Purdue, it made you raise your eyebrows a little bit and see if that would actually – come to fruition. It didn't, and we'll see where he ends up.
All right, as for Illinois, you caught up with Brad Underwood this week, and between Lante asking about 80s rock and fights with Big Ten coaches, what would you glean most from your update with Brad?
Yeah, we asked him, of course, about the workouts and the transition back to campus, and most of the returnees are back, Io being one that's not, Austin Hutcherson is not. But Trent Frazier, DeMonte, Kofi's been on campus for the past month, and we asked him about that as well. They haven't got going with Fletch yet. They're still kind of feeling that thing out. I know that some of that changes, small groups, and really one thing that they're really waiting on is the NCAA to make a ruling, which there's an expectation that they might push back on court instruction or just anything the coaches can do with players on the court until late July. And that might be something that evens the playing field for throughout college basketball, because different states are in different positions. They don't want one team getting a, you know, 5-on-5 in while the other can't even get in the building. So that's something that they're kind of just wait and see with. Again, they'll be able to get some lifts in with Fletch, and we'll see how that goes here in the coming weeks. But asking about Kofi being back, Lon kind of joked, can you break some news here on the show? He wasn't willing to do that. We knew that that wasn't going to be the case, right. But said that Kofi's still exploring his options. But, of course, as he said and as everybody's thinking, it's good to see him back in Champaign. And that he didn't say this, but I would say it, and we all have. That seems like a good sign for Illinois.
Yeah, I think Kofi will be back because, again, I just don't think he's going to get the feedback from the NBA that he wants, and I think he can gain a lot from coming back. Of course, it seems like we've had this conversation since March, Derek, of Io DeSumo, and I've maintained, he's maintained more importantly, that he's going to go through this process, and this process obviously has gone longer than any of us thought it would. It's obviously unprecedented time, but we usually be gearing up for a draft next week, and we'd have a clear answer already on this. But I think Io's going to go through the process, wait to see if he can go to a combine. But the hard part with Io is he might not be able to go to a combine unless he decides to stay in the draft, because the NCAA has put this August 3rd deadline, which I think is really, really not good for these kids, which I'm not happy with the NCAA about this, because they think, hey, we're all for the student athletes and giving them opportunities. Well, what's the difference between Brad Underwood knowing August 3rd or September 3rd whether Io is coming back, right? Like, let them get their chance to interview, to work out for these teams, and we don't even know when that'll be, but it sounds like mid to late September. So I understand that puts Underwood in a hard spot, but he's not finding an IO replacement in at this time in the cycle. So I feel bad for IO, but he might have to make a decision regardless of going through this entire process. And, you know, we know and we've talked with him, Derek. He's leaning, I would think, towards going. And I think he understands the risks of that. But I don't think much has changed with IO, despite any report or new big board that comes out.
I don't either. And he's maintained throughout his plan. He even said, told Big Ten Network that he's planning to be in the NBA next year. That's where he has in his mind that he's going to be playing. And it's unfortunate that, and look, we've been using that word throughout. They didn't have an NCAA tournament. They didn't have a Big Ten tournament, a combine. Now he's not going to have that. It sounds like, I know that Jeremy Wu wrote an article this week, Sam Vecenie, that a lot of people are expecting a combine, if there's going to be one, to be September or late August, and to have this date here, it's not going to provide that opportunity to elevate his stock. And again, we don't even know what a combine, for those that are going to go through it, what they're going to be able to do. Is it just going to be medical testing and that kind of thing? Is it even going to be on the court? So we'll see what was potentially sacrificed there. I know that he's gotten a chance to have Zoom calls with teams, and I'm sure that has made him feel good. It's just getting some feedback from specific teams instead of just looking at mock drafts or just the overall feedback, the general feedback that you're able to receive. So maybe a certain team or two would say, hey, if you're here in the mid round, in the second round, we take you, we like you. So that maybe informs him a little bit more. I understand the NCAA wanting to protect their programs and try to get for a Brad Underwood, like here's a sign that, you know, he registers for classes in the fall and you can know that he's coming back. But like you said, you're going to leave that spot open if it's September. And if he got a chance to do that, that would still make sense.
Yeah. It just doesn't sit well with me that they put that date out there before even knowing what a combine would be. So hopefully IO can get the decision back. Listen, I understand for Illinois fans, they might like it because it might benefit them if IO comes back, but I think you got to let the kid go through the process and have the full interview. But we'll see. I mean, at some point he'll make that decision, but I think we're probably a month or two away from that. I mean, we're 6 weeks, 7 weeks away from that August 3rd date anyway. All right, Derek, let's focus on the class of 2022. And they can now contact those kids. They was it Tuesday, Wednesday, they were able to start contacting those kids. And they send out a lot of offers, a flurry of offers right away. And a lot of them in state, almost a handful of kids in state that get offers here, or a couple in state, and some of them already had them. But it reminded me of last year, at 2021, when they could start talking to those kids, they sent offers out to Bryce Hopkins, your guy. They sent an offer to Louis Lesmond, who ends up going to Harvard and committing to Harvard over some Power Five offers. But I like that, you know, again, it seems like Illinois basketball ahead of the curve, and they're sending out those offers to in state kids. Doesn't mean they're going to recruit them as hard as others or land them, but I think it's a smart strategy. Blanket the state and set up an early relationship with those kids.
Yeah, it shows a commitment to the state, and it is getting in early. So if that player is to develop into a Big Ten caliber, and there are some already in the state, AJ Casey is a no-doubter. Jaden Shutt has really risen his stock, and everyone's watching his tape and can't wait to see him on the AAU circuit. And he's gotten a ton of interest. They offered him back in April, but Trey Pettigrew is one from Fenwick, a guard that they extended an offer to. He's had one from Penn State. That's where his dad played. He played basketball and football there, so a lot of a connection to that school. But Illinois being the second high major and getting in very early was good. Kyle Thomas is a big man out of St. Joe's, a program that's had a lot of success throughout the state, and he's a Mac Irvin big man that can stretch the floor, 6'9". They were his first Division I offer. So getting in early and really making that effort, it's something that the state definitely takes notice of. And these players, it gives them an opportunity to build the groundwork. And that's how they've gotten, you know, IO in the past, Adam Miller in the past. They offered Adam, and that was even the previous staff offered him before he even played a game at Peoria Emanuel. So, 2022, and whenever you get to this contact date, a lot of these guys you want to see more of. You want to see more of them on the high school scene, on the AAU scene. But there's enough to start building that relationship, make some calls at midnight. I think that's a silly rule. We want to talk about silly stuff the NCAA is doing. But, the staff has been very active, not only in-state. They've gone – Antigua's offered a couple guys out east at Our Savior Lutheran in the Bronx, same high school that Bernard Kuma was at. Chen's worked California, and they're going all over as they usually do. But as you mentioned, in-state has been a nice focus, and there's some nice players there in this class.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of this class in-state and how it's shaping up? It's very early, right? We don't even have an AAU circuit to kind of judge these guys by, which is usually when these guys, we start to learn about them. But what's the early word on what 22 could look like in-state of Illinois?
I think at the top, you're pretty encouraged. AJ Casey has a chance to be as highly ranked, really going to be in the conversation with Io and with Adam Miller, and depending on how he develops, he could be higher ranked than both of those guys by the end of his prep career. And he's been a five-star. He's a 24/7 composite five-star right now, number 24 in the class. And he has extreme upside, 6'8", great length, can stretch the floor. He needs to improve his ball handling a little bit, needs to get stronger. But he's someone similar to Adam that you've really had your eyes on ever since he stepped onto the high school scene. And he transferred from Simeon to Tinley Park this past year and had a big, big season at Tinley Park, and things started to really come together for him. And Jaden Shutt, now not ranked, but I don't think that's going to stay that way for very long. He's got a 38-inch vertical, and he shoots the heck out of the ball from three. He hit 17 threes in a game. I don't care the competition. He plays 1A at Yorkville. So one of the things that people want to see is on the AAU scene against other high major caliber talent, how does he perform? But he's got athleticism. He's got the three ball. Joe Hendrickson, who you and I respect a lot, said that he's one of the best shooters he's seen in the state in the past 25 years. So for Illinois to be his first high major offer, he's gotten calls from Michigan State. He's gotten Purdue and Iowa and Nebraska Northwestern offer. He's been to Iowa's campus. He's been to Purdue. That's going to be a Big Ten battle, but for Illinois to get in early there, those two at the top. And then Trey Pettigrew is one that he really elevated his game as a sophomore. Now looks like a Big Ten caliber talent as a guard, and he can play on and off the ball, good shooter. That's something that maybe you could pair with an Andre Curbelo, which those might be three top 100 guys, if not top 150.
Yeah, and man, Fenwick just producing these kids. I mean, I didn't know they were such a basketball power, but they had Stewart for most of his high school career, DJ Stewart going to Duke, your boy Bryce Hopkins, and now Trey Pettigrew. That's a really impressive run of talent. Give me more on Kyle Thomas. 6'9", Westchester St. Joseph, which Gene Pingator, who just passed away here recently, is built a power there. Dimitri McCamey went there. Isaiah Thomas, I believe, went to Westchester St. Joseph, but plays for Mac Irvin Fire. But 6'9", long front court player. Haven't had a lot of those in-state, so you put him there with A.J. Casey. What do you know so far about Kyle Thomas?
Yeah, Evan Turner being another one of those at St. Joe's as well. And the state outside of since that 2014 class hasn't produced a ton of high major talent in the front court. Of course, you can point to, especially at center, you can point to E.J. Liddell, Bryce Hopkins. Those are big time players. Jeremiah Tillman was one. But the state could do Illinois some favors by producing some bigs right in their backyard. And we'll see if Kyle Thomas is one of those. He averaged about 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks a game at St. Joe's. He's got very good length. He grew a lot in middle school. And as a guy that was used to playing a little bit on the perimeter, so you like that he's got a 15-foot jump shot. He can shoot three. He's someone that, again, like a lot of bigs at this stage, need to develop physically, need to show some more consistency. We'll see how he does Mac Irvin Fire whenever they're getting to play AAU again. But he's been a starter for St. Joe's already for 2 years. Again, a very good program. His dad played at Indiana, so that he's got good bloodlines there. So he's one that you kind of – you like the upside. You like where he could potentially project. Just one that you need to see more from.
AJ Case is going to be the one people point at, right? Like, if you land him, what a class it is to get a top-ranked guy in the state. And it doesn't seem like he's got the biggest offers yet or the longest offer list, though that is growing here. I think Indiana just offered. But Illinois has gotten in there early, right? I mean, he visited on campus there in March with that huge run of kids that visited here. What's that relationship like early? How do you feel about Illinois early on with AJ Casey?
I feel pretty good about it. Obviously, it's going to be highly contested with a lot of programs. Kansas is already in there with an offer. You mentioned Indiana. There's going to be a lot of Big Ten interest. Michigan State's been involved. Illinois has done a very, very good job early. They've really since last fall pinpointed him as, let's treat him like he's in the current class regardless, and let's put our effort and energy and making him a priority, even though he's a little bit down the line in 2022. They got him on campus for the first time last fall when they brought in some others at that time, and then returned and got him on campus during the season for the Indiana game. Of course, again, as we said a lot, to sell that game out, to have recruits in the building and play the way that you did this past season was big. And I think it was big for AJ. Chen Coleman has went and saw him a number of times, even Brad Underwood one or two times during the high school season. So I think the relationship, he's very familiar now with the staff. His family is as well. And of course, heard from Brad Underwood this week, and they're pushing really, really hard. He knows that. He likes the fact that Io was one, a star in the state that he looked up to and made the choice to stay home. So I think that all bodes well for Illinois right now. They're working it as hard as anyone. They're in the best position of anyone, but of course there's still a long way to go, and they got to continue to work that.
All right, you mentioned Chen Coleman. We've kind of figured out what Chen is, right? Like Chen in Chicago, and then he's had, I think, tentacles everywhere, whether it's California or you know, other places across the globe. But we know what Orlando Antigua is, East Coast, the connections he has there, and just can walk in any room and kind of own it. What have we learned about Stephen Gentry so far as a recruiter, and what, his 8 months, 9 months now as an assistant coach?
Well, he showed something with Luke Goody. I know that was a feather in his cap early. That was one that they really allowed him to take over and really focus in on, where O and Chen had a lot of the other guys in the 2020 class, even as they were finishing that up, and in 2021. But Gentry did a great job with Goody, developed the relationship. That's a very good early add. Now it'll be interesting, and I know that he's been working Kansas. That's where he's from, similar to Brad Underwood, Sunrise Christian. Grady Dick is one that he reached out to, a top 35 talent. He's establishing or has connections in Texas. He's looking there. So those are really the two hotbeds, you would say. But he's one that is going to extend out, and they're going to determine which guys maybe relate to him and who he can kind of work with, because he's very good player development. He works with guards. Shooters, that's something they really sold to Luke Goody. And Michael Zanoni is one that Illini fans are probably familiar with. He's visited a couple times. He's out in North Carolina. Thought to be one of the better shooters in the class. Again, and we're going to say it a lot, has to show it more at a higher level once you get to 17U AAU. But he has length. He has a very good stroke. And Gentry is the lead recruiter for him, and heard from him this past week. So that's probably the one that he's working the hardest in this class, but I think he's going to be more involved with multiple guys here in 2022.
Yeah. So you mentioned Zanoni. Any of the other out of state guys that intrigue you the most of the offers they've sent out here recently?
Jaquan Sanders is one. And I mentioned our savior Lutheran, and he got an offer with Silas Sunday. Who's a big man there, 6'10", but Jaquan
name.
Sanders can really, really, really score it. Yeah, good name. Jaquan can really score it, and that's one that Brad Underwood has looked to and gotten in early. Outside of that, I mean, it's still early for a lot of these guys, and they've offered a handful within that top 50 range. One that's blanking me out in California right now, who they offered once. You know what? This is – I got to get this right. Ramel Lloyd. Yeah. Ramel Lloyd out in California is one that you look at, and he's a big guard. He's 6'6". He's talented. He sees himself as, you know, he's projected, a lot of people look at him as an off guard, but he's played a lot with the ball in his hands. And he, again, is one, I think, that you sell Io DeSumo being a bigger guard that was able to play make. Interesting. His father is from New York, played high school ball there in the Bronx, same as Antigua, played professionally in Dominican Republic, played for the Harlem Globetrotters. Those are all things that him and Antigua share as far as shared experiences. So I'd be interested to see if that's something that maybe resonates, or if those guys have a prior relationship. So that's one I'd look at as well.
This is such an unfair question, because we are so far away from the class of 2022 being in focus. And so 2021, we still got to see it shape, but as you look, I asked you last week, what's the 2021 class mean? That's easy to say, right? Because we already know what the rest of the roster or most of the roster will look like. 2022, is it AJ Casey? Is that like how we're going to put the barometer on this class? That's probably too unfair to say early on in the process, but it feels like, okay, just like Adam Miller, you land him, great class. If you land Io DeSumo, good class. At Kofi Coburn, I think we felt that way too. So if AJ Casey lands, that feels like that's a good class again, and again, top 50 talent after top 50 talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a guy that in the past couple classes, you've had some opportunities to land a, I don't want to say long-term solution at the four, because AJ Casey may only play 1 year in college, and but EJ Liddell was a major loss and a guy that was a perfect fit at the four, versatile. Bryce Hopkins, versatile. You said that's my boy. It is. Both of those guys really love their games, ability to stretch the floor, and be the foreman that Underwood's offense really has been looking for. And AJ Casey, look, he's going to fit in anything, but the established relationship, the fact that he's super high ranked and could end up being a five-star, could end up being higher ranked than Adam and Io, and all the work that Illinois's done there early, you're going to look at him. And I think a lot of people are going to look at Jaden Schutt too, if he continues to progress, because look, someone from a small school, I mean, you hear about the Joe Wies camp at Iowa and that kind of recruitment. If Illinois is able to benefit off of that, and look, there's secrets out on Jaden Schutt, but if he wants to stay home with the athleticism, with the ability to shoot the three, that's what they need. This is a team that they're hoping to improve with Adam and Hutcherson, but last year they've had too many non-shooters. You've heard it a lot, the worst three-point shooting team during Big Ten play. If they could get a high-level shooter with an AJ Casey, two guys in your state, I think that's what you're looking for. You get one of those guys or both of those guys, huge success.
All right, Derek, I haven't asked you yet. IHSA State Championships is going to be a short drive for you for the next couple ones. What do you think of that, coming to Champaign? And, you know, I talked to Deion Thomas. We talked to Brad Underwood about the recruiting impact. Just what do you think of that for Illinois?
I'm excited personally, but also Illinois, I think, should be excited to show off your venue. And, you know, obviously it's a destination spot for every team in your state. And to get the top programs, top players, to be trying to get to Champaign and getting in the State Farm Center, that it's a great arena. And that's not coming – I mean, it's coming from a biased perspective, but really all the work and the money that they put into it to renovate it, it's a nice place. It's one of the best in the Big Ten. And I think that just the buy-in that people have around Champaign and the area for basketball, they want to see it back there. I think that they'll show up and they'll fill those stands. So yeah, to get, if it's an AJ Casey or whoever it may be down the road, makes it to state and you're there in the Illinois locker room and you're playing on that floor, and Underwood and staff are able to be there. What's interesting there is it's going to be during the weekend of the Big Ten tournament. And I know Illinois, with their expectations now, are going to be playing deep into Saturday and Sunday. And we're actually going to be in Indy or staying multiple nights somewhere. But overall, yeah, it's the best basketball venue in the state. No disrespect to Peoria. I thought they did a good job with it. But to get it back in Champaign, I think that's exciting for the players and also obviously for Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know if it lands you AJ Casey, but it doesn't hurt, right? Like, it doesn't hurt to have that, to have people come to your campus, to have other students come to your campus. And if Illinois basketball is doing well and producing pros, which is the most important thing, then it's just another showcase for you. So I think it's definitely a great thing for the community as well, Derek, because it just felt like, man, you're watching Peoria and you're seeing the attendance go down, and you've been there. It's just like, man, Champaign can do this better. And I expect they will. And I expect fans to show up. But especially if you get an Illinois commit or an Illinois recruit in there, whether that's Casey or Schutt or whoever it is, you know, there was orange and blue in Peoria if Adam Miller and Io DeSumo were playing.
Yeah, there has been. And you mentioned it there for the community as well, downtown Champaign. Also, campus has changed a lot even since we graduated. It's nice, and there's a lot to show off there. And again, it's not that they're not getting – they've had AJ Casey on campus. They can still get those guys there. But just to be able to have that stage be something that people want. And we know you mentioned Deion Thomas, some guys in the past, how much it meant to them to play on that floor and to play for a state title. I think a lot of players around the state look to Illinois as one of the spots. Look, and to get there and play, I think that would mean a lot to them. So, yeah, I only see it as a positive.
What's your favorite Peoria memory, though? Is it Centennial went there, right?
Yeah, I got to say that. Thank you for directing me in the only way to go with that. Champaign Centennial beating Oswego in the final. They beat North Lawndale in a really tough semifinal there. Revonte Rice with a big steal late. James Kenny, Josh Piper, shout out. Jeff Johnson. Those were good times, 2009.
If Centennial had played in Champaign, like for the title, do you think Bruce Weber would have actually offered Revonte Rice then? Because I think most of us who saw him play go, that guy's pretty dang good.
Yeah. I don't want to give Bruce that out because they had the shootout the hall back then. They played Joseph Bertrand in 2009, and then in 2010 they played Jeremy Richmond.
Owned him.
And they beat him. And even the year before that, they beat Crandall Head. So Centennial was beating those guys back then. Of course, again, I'm a Centennial guy, but yeah, they deserved a little bit more of a look from Bruce and the staff.
Yeah, at least John was smart enough to get Ray. Came at the expense of possibly Caris LeVert, but it's all right. Revonte Rice worked out pretty well. Derek Piper, thank you, buddy, as always.
Yeah, we'll probably be talking TBT next time. The bracket's right out and everything. Excited for that. But, yeah, it was fun.
I am getting out to Vegas. My family, my in-laws have a house out there. Any bet you need me to make while I'm out there on anything sports that you're confident in?
Good question. I told Lon I threw a little bit of money on the Kyler Murray MVP. That's probably a long shot. Patriots under 9 wins. Push your bet if they win 9.
What's the Bears at? 7.5, 8, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 8. Take the over.
I think I'd go slightly. Yeah, I think 9, yeah. 10, possible. I don't think they'll
8
be bad.
And 8, you can get your money back. Unless it's 7.5, then go ahead on that.
Yeah, okay. Iowa to make the Final Four is plus 175. You betting that?
No. They're going to be scary offensively, but yeah. They got to get stops, and Fran's got this thing about late in the season. That's one thing that he hasn't earned a lot of trust there.
I agree with you. So if you had to bet one Big Ten team to make the Final Four next year?
Yes. Look, see, Iowa's at the top. Wisconsin, am I going to roll with them?
It's probably the year Michigan State will, because we're not expecting it.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. I'm just wondering they figured out who's playing point guard for them? Next to Rocket Watts.
They got Watts, Hauser, Henry, right? I think people are counting them out too early. Like, you know, Iowa's number one. I'm like, hey, one, if Illinois gets Kofi and Io back, if that happens, I don't expect it. That might be number one for me. But I think people are putting Iowa up number one. I mean, Wisconsin won 14 games last year, and they don't lose anybody. And, you know, I think Michigan State is always dangerous.
They are for sure. I love Rocket, and Bingham's a decent piece. He's going to develop. Malik Hall was a freshman last year. He's going to take another step forward. So they're going to be loaded, especially if they figure out that point guard spot with Watts. But, hey, maybe we think optimistically Illinois with Kofi back, even Kofi, Andre, Adam.
It's a lot of unknowns at the guard spot, even though I like the talent there. I'd have them top half. Like, where would you have them? I've seen Indiana ahead of them in some places, which Trace Jackson Davis is a heck of a player, and they got some good talent coming in from in-state. Christian Lander. Yeah. Would you have Indiana or Illinois if Kofi comes back and Iowa doesn't?
That's tough. Illinois. Oh, Indiana doesn't have the shooting. Yeah. And I think Kofi has the advantage over Trace if you get him back. Christian Lander against Andre Curbelo, sign me up already just to watch that. I think Illini fans are hoping that they let the fans in the building when that happens. But, look, if Trent Frazier steps up, right. and that's not even talking about Georgie, I think Illinois has some pieces there, some depth that maybe some other teams don't have if some of these things work out, Hutcherson, Grandison.
What I'm kind of getting at with, like, Illinois and Michigan State, I feel like they're good on both sides of the ball, right? Like, I feel like they're going to be good on both sides of the ball. Indiana, Iowa, I don't know if they will be.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's the flip for both of those where Indiana struggled offensively last year. Obviously, Christian Lander's going to help them there. Iowa just doesn't play defense. They might score 85 a game. So we'll see if they're able to win like that. If Luka can be any better than he was last year, then look out. We're talking about nothing here. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Don't get me wrong. Iowa's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. And they better to play those teams, Iowa and Illinois. We need more and more of those games. Derek Piper, thank you, bud.
Anytime, man. Always fun.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Getting you going already in the class of 2022 with basketball. Yeah, thinking about it already. But a lot of great information there from Derek Piper. All right, if you missed anything on the site this week, go get Derek Piper's breakdowns of these guys. He chatted a little bit about these guys, but he's got even more in-depth pieces this week on the class of 2022. The latest from Brad Underwood on that as well. And I'll have more Illinois football recruiting stuff up there here soon at Illini Inquirer. Right now, you can sign up for a 30% off an annual subscription. You can try that out. But I'll have a little bit of buzz about football recruiting here coming up shortly. And everything you need to know about Theodore Lockley is on there as well. So check it out. IlliniInquirer.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, if you don't subscribe to us, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate when you do that. Everybody have a great Father's Day weekend. Happy Juneteenth to everybody out there as well. Have a safe, happy holiday, and we'll chat to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.